For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
To Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big men. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. The crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Phillips. Here it is. He's got it. He's got it. Chauncey Phillips hits the three. Overtime. Amazing.
On a bounce, Detroit basketball.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano. Joining me this week is Aaron Johnson. Aaron, how are you doing? How are you feeling after Malachi Flynn's 50-point explosion in a loss to the Hawks?
I haven't looked at the comments. I have been getting a bunch of notifications, though, on an old TikTok that I made about Malachi Flynn from one of his initial games with the Pistons, and I know it's people coming back for my throat. But other than that, I'm doing well. I don't care about Malachi Flynn truthers hitting me up on TikTok. But other than that, I'm doing good. Better than the Pistons seem to be doing health-wise. I mean, I talk about a team that just can't get guys to suit up for these games down the stretch here. But I am doing well, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, fans coming to you for your Malachi Flynn take just is a barometer of how down we are as Pistons fans, that Malachi Flynn is getting on people's nerves, or the audacity to trash him. I recall Jasper saying in the chat that Malachi Flynn does nothing for me, quote unquote, does nothing for me. So you can go and attack him as well. We are going to talk about Malachi Flynn. We are going to talk about some of the other players that were starting for the Pistons in that game. And we're going to talk a little bit about the article that came out in The Athletic, not to turn this into a let's talk about reporters, but there are some interesting tidbits that were shared that we will go over really briefly. We'll get to that, and I'm sure we'll get to a little bit more as we stray off track. But I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode before we move on. And that is BetOnline. And it's down to the last four teams. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. Now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot in store. MLB is here. The NBA and NHL playoffs are around the corner. And as always, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's a BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. When you use BetOnline, BetOnline, the game starts here. The Women's Final Four is in Cleveland this year, and I work downtown. And my good buddy, who also lives downtown, was in line for coffee at a local shop called Phoenix, which is a great place. And the Iowa team was right behind him. And actually, the Iowa team is staying at a hotel just one block away from where I'm working. So I've been trying to walk around and see if I could spot anybody. The traffic's been a lot worse. There's a lot of big buses with police escorts moving all around downtown. It's really neat.
The commute must be hell for you right now.
It's tough. You know, I'm kind of by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and all the teams are staying in sort of the same vicinity, but it's really cool. Tickets are a little expensive, but if I had the cash, I would love to go because it's just a fun time. Having Iowa that close is really neat. They have every hotel room labeled with which team is staying there. So you have UConn in one corner and NC State in another corner. And it's pretty neat, pretty cool. We're very fortunate to have it here. The last time it was in Cleveland was 2007, and that was Candace Parker and Pat Summitt. So you get stars back then and you get some stars now.
Nice. Yeah, I watched the Iowa LSU game the other day, like I'm sure you did as well. Really, really. I watched part of the UConn game after that as well. Really looking forward to Iowa and UConn. I think that's going to be a really fun game. So looking forward to that. Really, it was a good game, the LSU Iowa game. I admittedly don't watch a ton of NCAA women's games, but Caitlin Clark put on an absolute show, as she seems to always do. And I think her and Iowa taking on Paige Beckers, who, from the little bit that I've heard of people talking about it on social media and whatnot, I think there's a smaller group of people that really think like Paige Beckers is actually the best player in NCAA women's basketball. So really looking forward to that matchup. Both of them are phenomenal players. So that'll be a fun watch.
Yeah. And Jackson Flickinger, who I write with Fear the Sword, who's part of Breakdown Euclid, has been writing up an article that will never be seen of Paige Beckers tweeting about the Cavs like 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. It's very funny. She went out and said Steph Curry is, turns into a ghost in the finals and Kyrie is better. So she's won the adoration of Cavs fans.
That's awesome. But that's how you know women's basketball has grown a ton, because we have people digging up bold tweets on them, and not just the men's guys that are getting drafted or you're getting signed in free agency or whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how you know the sport's actually growing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, enough about the women's game. We could probably do an actual decent pod about that, but we will go and talk about the Pistons instead as the season winds down. Our first topic will be about Malachi Flynn. He went for 50 points as the Pistons lost to Atlanta 121-113. It was giving very heavy tungsten arm O'Toole vibes in that tweet of Flynn going for 50 and the Pistons still find a way to lose. Jaden Ivey scored 8 points on 3 of 15 shooting. Jalen Duren was a team worst minus 25 in 27 minutes. Cade didn't play due to injury management. Flynn joins Jamal Crawford and Nick Anderson as the only reserves to score 50 plus points in a game. So, really briefly, any thoughts on this game? I mean, I watched bits and pieces of it. But any thoughts on Flynn going for 50? We're going to talk a little bit more about the starters in the next topic. I think that's really what we're going to, hone in on more. But any thoughts on Flynn going for 50 points on 25 shots, I think, too?
Truthfully, I think I'd rather talk more about the women's Final Four than I would rather Malachi Flynn and his 50-point game against the Hawks. The Pistons are a really brutal watch right now, especially when Cade Cunningham doesn't play. And then to make matters worse, Jaden Ivey was probably the worst Piston on the court yesterday, and Jalen Duren wasn't much better. I really, to be I guess the hater that I am, I'm really not moved by Malachi Flynn's 50-point game. Doesn't really do anything for me. For the people that all of a sudden are coming out of the woodworks as massive Malachi Flynn truthers, saw some tweets yesterday and this morning about Malachi Flynn being this team's second best guard, or at worst third best guard. It's comedic. It's hilarious. A lot of guys have had 50-point games in the NBA. A lot of guys that are completely irrelevant have had 50-point games in the NBA. The Atlanta Hawks were not playing much defense whatsoever throughout the majority of that game, but really specifically in the second half, it felt like Malachi Flynn was very much so hunting that 50-point game. And to be fair, he did play well. Like, the shots were falling, you know, outside and in. He was getting to the basket. But that's not changing my opinion on him. He's been a fringe NBA player for his NBA career, and I don't really think that changes based off one game. A lot of guys have big-time performances at the end of an NBA season because teams are not playing as hard, not playing their best players. The team that these players are having these big performances that they're on are not playing their key guys, as the Pistons are not right now, as we've seen. So, yeah, I guess, you know, I don't necessarily want to come out and talk badly about it, because that's not like my goal. But I think there was a lot of overreacting to a pretty pointless game. And like, I'm happy for Malachi. I'm sure like he's very much worked very hard and he's earned this. But some of the reactions that I'm seeing coming out of Pistons Twitter, which to be honest, are not completely unexpected, looking at the clientele within Pistons Twitter. But they're ridiculous, and it's a shame that we can't just say, hey, that was a really good game by player X. You know, hopefully he can continue to get better or whatever. But instead, we're making massive claims like Malachi Flynn is the second best guard on the Pistons that just have really no factual basis behind them outside of getting emotional over one good game. So, yeah, that's really all my thoughts on it. Like I said, I'd much rather talk about Caitlin Clark or pretty much anything else than this. But I wouldn't maybe have been this way had the takes not gotten so out of hand over a pointless game between two non-playoff teams in April.
Well, the Hawks did clinch the play-in tournament in this win. Whether you count
the play-in?
Yes, they clinched a play-in spot with that win.
There's no one else in the East that's even...
Correct. Yeah, wow. The that's Nets were their other competition.
Atlanta, who's pretty much tanking, has clinched a play-in spot.
Correct. Yeah, they're not playing Trae Young. Jalen Johnson was a monster, though, with a triple-double. Sadiq Bey, if you'll recall, 50-point game in 2022. So it just must be in that Piston blood. Brandon Jennings has a 50-point game as well. I just saw. I don't know who that was with, but... Flynn's got the same number of 50-point games as Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, so rarefied air. And I think Mo Williams as well. Didn't Mo have a 50-point game with the Wolves a couple years ago? Yeah,
he did. This is vindication for Troy Weaver's fascination with the 2020 draft class. It was James Wiseman playing like an actual basketball player for a few weeks, and now it's Malachi Flynn scoring 50 points in a game. Don't say he got nothing in the Bojan Bogdanović, Alec Burks trade with the New York Knicks. He got a player capable of scoring 50 points in an NBA game. Troy Weaver does not lose trades, folks.
Right. That's exactly right. He don't miss. Anyway, we'll just go ahead and move on. Wow. Luka Garza has a standard contract, and he's now on the playoff roster for the Wolves.
Good for Interesting. Him. Every time I walk in, he makes an impact when he gets in. And he doesn't always get in, but when he does, I that's fine. I think you could do a lot worse. I certainly would rather watch Luka Garza play than James Wiseman and Chemezi Metu, who thinks he is Kevin Durant out there when he is, unfortunately, really just Chemezi Metu. We will talk about that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about that right now. So the starting lineup yesterday was a lot of bench players and Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren. I don't want to discount the actual two starters. So of the non-core four, the core four being Cade, Ivey, Duren, and Asar Thompson, the non-core four, and I listed them out here for you in Notion, how many of them are going to be on the roster next season? And if you want, I can run through them a little bit. But some of the ones you may have forgotten about, you may have forgotten about Simone Fontecchio. You may have forgot about Stanley Amude. You may have forgot about Taj Gibson. I'm including Buddy Boeheim and Jared Roden in there as well. You talked about Metu and Wiseman, Evan Fournier, who was a delightful 0 for 5 yesterday. Marcus Sasser, we're not counting him in the core four, but he's a guy that, you know, probably is going to be on the roster next year. So how many of the non-core four guys do you think are going to be on the roster next year?
Well, look, I think you can rattle off at least 6 or 7 of these guys that have no business being on the team next year. Start with the boy, Malachi Flynn, that everyone loves. We'll start with him. Okay. Jalen Noel, who just signed a 10-day contract, not going to be here. Troy Brown Jr., not going to be here. We'll see on Chimezie Mutu. We'll see on James Wiseman. Personally, I don't think either of them should be here.
Well, Fournier. What about should with Wiseman? Just real fast, because that's going to be not a controversial one, but the Pistons invested 4 draft picks essentially in him, essentially Sadiq Bey in him. Are they indebted to keep him just to make amends? Now, this front office has shown the willingness to, you know, try to make something out of very little by giving Isaiah Stewart that contract. Remember, one of the reasons they signed him was to, quote unquote, salvage that draft class. Do you think that they would sign Wiseman to a low, I mean, obviously not going to pick up an option or anything like that, but sign him just to save face a little bit for that trade, or, you know, would they just cut bait?
I've said this on a few occasions now, and I do still think it's the case. I don't think James Wiseman should be on the team next year. However, I do think the Pistons will bring him back. I do think they will re-sign him, because the way that they've spoken about him, they have a very, very clear affinity and belief in him. Whether they're right or wrong, it's up to, that's subjective, whatever. I think he will be back. I personally would not bring him back. He had a nice little stretch there in, what was it, you know, beginning of March or whatever, where for a week or two,
correct, yeah,
like a real NBA player, and there were like some signs of legitimate growth. And since then, it's kind of just reverted back to, yes, he'll get a nice block every once in a while, but other than that, really doesn't do anything for me. And when you're talking about financial commitments to guys, you know, James Wiseman's contract right now is $12 million. If you're talking about picking up his option and paying him double digit millions annually, that's an absolute no for me. If you're bringing him back on a much, much, much smaller deal, and as the, you know, third center, you're bringing in another center behind Duren, that would be at least more acceptable to me. But in my mind, what I'm envisioning is I'm seeing the Pistons bringing him back, and bringing him back with the idea that he's going to be the team's backup center next year. And look, you tried, whether you were right or wrong for trying, you did. And it has not worked out. There has not been a legitimate enough amount of growth from Wiseman over a consistent period of time that should give you the confidence that he can play 15, 20 minutes a night, or then step in and start for a center in Jalen Duren that has missed time throughout his career and be playing big minutes. He just hasn't shown he can do that. He doesn't have the defensive capabilities. He gets in foul trouble when he's playing heavy minutes. It's just really not a true possibility to me. But at the same time, I could see the Pistons, if the same decision makers are still in charge, bringing him back.
And we'll get into the decision maker aspect in our next topic, but I cut you off. You were talking about Evan Fournier, who's currently the highest paid Piston on the roster.
Evan Fournier. Well, let's just say I'm relishing the moment this season ends, because I have a very, very, I do have faith in the Pistons that they will not be bringing back Evan Fournier, who for all of the complaining, for all of the bitching and moaning that he did in New York with Tom Thibodeau and not being given the opportunity to play in his rotation, he has done so poorly with Detroit that he has vindicated Tom Thibodeau 3 times over. Evan Fournier should not touch a basketball for the Detroit Pistons again, to be quite fair. Sometimes your career just comes to the finish line, and I think that's really the case with Fournier, who, by the way, torched the Pistons with Orlando for years. For years, he was a Piston killer. Now he is still a Piston killer, but he's on the team. So it's an even worse problem. That's kind of my thoughts on Fournier. Yeah, like I said, there's probably, you know, of these, however many guys, it's what, 8 to 10 guys that we're talking about here. The only guys that I think should be back with the team are Simone Fontecchio, Marcus Sasser. You're bringing back Quentin Grimes, at least in my opinion. I know there was some words in James Edwards' piece that maybe showed some speculation in Grimes coming back. Maybe he's moved in a deal if you're improving the roster somehow. But if that's not the case, if we're just talking about bringing guys back that are talented, that, you know, have a pathway to minutes or being a part of this team, Quentin Grimes should be back as long as he's healthy and able to be an NBA player. And then Isaiah Stewart. Those are the four guys that I think of this group of non-core guys on the roster should be back. Should be back. Others that I could be talked into, look, I'm swooned by Taj Gibson. I'll admit it. You're talking about a veteran in the locker room that has had a positive impact on this team despite only playing like 6 minutes with them this season. I would bring back Taj Gibson as my 15th guy if it came down to it. The other guy that I would be okay with giving a roster spot to is Tosani Awoma. I genuinely like the way that he plays. You know, he tries hard on defense. He tries hard rebounding. And he doesn't hijack on offense when he gets the ball. He very much tries to play within, you know, the team's offense, whatever it is. He can shoot a little bit. He can finish around the rim a little bit. But he's not some high usage player. And he doesn't need to be. It's not going to be his role in the NBA anytime soon. So I like what he's done. And, you know, going back to that point about hijacking the offense, like, that's something that Jamezi Mattu, who quite frankly does have some tools to be an NBA player, but he's come in and he's going to the rim, like, you know, like I said, like he's coming to rant, like he's going to get these crazy calls and be able to do these crazy finishes that he's just not capable of. You know, he launches from beyond the arc like he's Kevin Durant, and he's just not that type of player. Like, if he would just play within a defined role, he might look more like an NBA player. And when a guy takes the shots that he does, and obviously he has the opportunity here in Detroit, like, he is going to have some nights where he gets you 15 points, but there's also going to be those nights where he's 2 of 8, 2 of 9 from the field. And you're like, why the hell is this guy on the court? Why is this guy on the court shooting this much? You know? And that's part of the problem of playing with the Pistons right now. Like, they don't have a clearly defined pecking order, or, you know, they don't put players in positions where it's like, hey, we don't want you doing this. We want you doing these things, but we don't want you trying to go to the rim like you're Cade Cunningham or Jaden Ivey, right? We don't want you taking 3-point shots off the dribble like you're Jaden Ivey or, you know, Simone Fontecchio, whatever. They're allowing guys like Jamezi Mattu to come in and play in this completely unorganized fashion. And you're seeing a guy like him really try to force things, whereas someone like Iwoma has come in, really honed in on the defensive end, and has, you know, done whatever's he's been given offensively, not trying to do too much and hijack plays and play selfish. Like, you know, for all of the talk about the Malachi Flynn game, like, I was sitting there watching the Pistons play, and it was all just, not just Flynn specifically, but just the Pistons in general, it was all just really selfish, one-on-one, I want to go to the rim, I want to get a shot up basketball. And it's like, that's not how you build a winning culture. That's not how you build a winning team. And you can't have a roster of 10, 12, 14, 16 guys that all want to play iso ball and get up double-digit shot attempts a game. Like, that's just not a possibility in the NBA. No team's built like that. And, you know, that's what I see with a lot of these guys. And, you know, on one hand, I get it. They're trying to earn an NBA contract. But in my mind, I think someone like Iwoma, who hasn't, you know, played selfish basketball, has done more for earning himself a contract than someone like a Mattu or a Malachi Flynn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, Tosin is a very low usage forward. But like you said, he's a guy who knows his capabilities and knows his role. I agree there was a little bit of shot chucking happening with Metu. At the end of the day, though, it's like most of these guys are fighting to like not have to move overseas and play basketball. You know, it's like that's just the reality is that you have more guys on this roster. Just looking at this list, you have more guys on this list who are not going to be in the NBA than who are going to be in the NBA, even maybe even in the G League. So I agree. Sasser's got to stay. Fontecchio's got to stay. There's no reason the Pistons would have traded for him if they weren't going to keep him and sign him. Right. Quentin Grimes and Isaiah Stewart are the other easy ones. I like Taj as being a Udonis Haslam type where he's just there. And then Tosin, you know, as maybe he's on or he's part of the G League roster at the very least. I think you're right there with Fournier and Brown are not going to be there. The wild card to me is going to be Wiseman for the reasons we've already talked about. And then, you know, if they unload one or multiple of the core four, you know, ideally you're getting back NBA caliber players in return who could fill some of those other roles. And then they're going to have a ton of cap space. I played around with cleaning the glasses salary cap sheet by just cutting guys and signing guys. And the Pistons can get a significant amount of cap space. I think everybody who's probably listening to this podcast knows that. So it's good to have a lot of players year over year for this roster who are not going to be here because you have a lot of money to fill them with better players. And they're going to have to do that.
Yeah, it's and look, if they went and kept – if they went and kept all four core guys, which is being talked about as not a lock, there's been talk that at least one of them is going to get moved in the offseason. But let's say they kept all four of their core guys and kept the six players that we mentioned, Marcus Sasser, Simone Fontecchio, Quentin Grimes, Isaiah Stewart, Taj Gibson, and Tosin Iwuoma. That gives them 10 roster spots. That's still five roster spots to go out and improve the team. And that's not just bench guys. That's, in theory, adding a starter. And in theory, adding two, three high-level bench players and a couple other role guys. So there's still plenty of space to use your top draft pick, use your, you know, $60 million in cap space that they're going to end up having. So that's just if they kept the core guys too. And the other thing to consider is, right, who's making the decisions for this team? Because if a new general manager is coming in, I'd expect that the number of roster spots available to be a lot higher than if someone like Troy Weaver, who's probably a lot more partial to these guys that he's assembled, is going to be. So all of this is very much hinging on who is making the roster decisions. A new general manager, a new president of basketball operations, could change this significantly from what we're anticipating if Troy Weaver's back.
I didn't unmute there. Yeah, and that's a great segue into our third topic of the day. And it is sort of talked about the James Edwards, the third article that came out via The Athletic. We talked a little bit about Grimes, or you had mentioned earlier about Grimes, on how it wasn't a surefire thing that he was going to return, like gut feeling he was going to return. And I think all of us in the chat were like, well, of course he's going to return. They traded Bogdanovich and Burks for him. They couldn't get their first back. They couldn't get Deuce McBride. So they got Quentin Grimes, who fits a need. And we talked about it after the trade. If this is a guy who fits what the roster needs as a wing defender who can, you know, shoot a three ball. I didn't include this in the notes here. I must have forgotten, but I mean, we're both on board for keeping Grimes, right? He's got like a 3.5 or some $4.3 million team option. Yeah, it's $4.3 million.
He's young. You know, you have to hope that he comes in next year healthy. And if he does, you know, look, out of all of the roster spots that, that you have available, I think you can use one up on Quentin Grimes. This was obviously a guy that the team believed in, so much so that they were willing to pass on, you know, packages with first round picks or whatever to bring him in from New York. So I would have to hope that Grimes is going to come back healthy next year. And if he does, then you the hope has to be, well, can he find a way to shoot consistently? You know he's going to give this team effort defensively, which is something that this team desperately needs, especially on the perimeter. So there is a pathway to Grimes contributing for this team. And with the cost that you dealt to bring him in, you have to imagine they're going to give him more than the six games he managed to play with the team this year.
Yeah, they just didn't have enough information on him to move on from him. I mean, obviously, if somebody overwhelms you for the, you know, the what could be Quentin Grimes box, you, and someone wants to buy in on that, and you feel like you can get a decent return, then obviously you do that. But based on the injuries, based on the inefficiency shooting, I just don't feel like anybody's going to be offering you something for Grimes that, you know, is going to be worthwhile to move on from him. And they're not really in a position to move on from potentially good players, especially on the perimeter. So let's talk about the first puzzling point that we saw in James Edwards' article via The Athletic. And that was that there is a scenario where Tom Gora, as an ownership, hires somebody to essentially go on top of Troy Weaver as a president of basketball operations or a team president-esque role. And that individual will have the final say on roster decisions, basically putting Troy Weaver in middle management, which is, I don't care what industry you're in or what level you're in, it's not a scenario you ever want to be in. James Edwards wanted to, you know, emphasize it's not a report, it's just rumors. So, Aaron, we talked a lot about it in the chat, but there are already a lot of decision makers in this front office, some of which fans don't know about. who have lots of input. You go ahead.
There are a lot of cooks in the kitchen in Detroit.
Right.
You know, obviously Troy Weaver's there. Arne Tellem's power is not unnoted in that organization. What about the former coach that they brought into their front office last year in Dwayne Casey? What about the team's assistant general managers under Troy Weaver? They have a lot of people. And also, to be fair, a guy that has said he is part of these meetings, is a part of the decision-making process, the owner of the team themselves, Tom Gores. You already have so many cooks in the kitchen. Bringing in a president of basketball operations or whatever, why bring in another voice at that point? What does that solve? Like, what is keeping all of those guys and then bringing in a new guy to lead the front office who probably wants to make his own changes and bring in his own staff members and whatnot? How does that help you? I get the Tom Gores wants to be a nice guy or whatever type thing. You employed Troy Weaver for 4 years and extended him. You were plenty nice enough for the failure that he has had as a tenure of the Detroit Pistons general manager. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off. It's time to say, thank you for your service. We've won a combined 60 games under you in 4 years. We're moving on. That's not me. Troy Weaver got paid millions of dollars for 4 years to put up back-to-back, record-breaking bad seasons for the franchise. you don't need to be nice in that sense. You already were nice when you gave Dwayne Casey a front office role. Are they going to be nice again and give Monty Williams a front office role? There are much bigger problems than trying to be nice to the person that you gave 4 years to and hasn't been able to produce a winner. So I don't get this. I don't think it makes sense whatsoever. Maybe you need to have tough conversations with the person that is, you know, what is his exact title? Senior advisor to the ownership in Arntellum. Like, maybe you need to have those conversations before bringing in another cook into a kitchen full of cooks that are already struggling to be on the same page consistently.
And this isn't a traditional, it's not the normal order of operations for a front office. Usually, in the case of the Cavs or even the Pelicans, where David Griffin was normally a GM would be promoted to president of basketball operations, and then their lieutenant would take over as GM. Kobe Altman did that. He was the GM, was promoted. Mike Gansey is now the general manager for the Cavaliers. This is almost out of order. Normally, the president of basketball operations would have a say in who the general manager is, not the other way around, seemingly, of, you know, stacking somebody on top of Troy Weaver. I don't understand how this solves anything. If anything, it makes it worse. This comes on the heels of an article from The Ringer about how Tom Gores is one of the worst owners in the NBA. So it's really hard to fight against that when you hear rumors like this of just more absurd power structure management for a team that already doesn't have a clear path of decision-making like most organizations do. And while talking about Troy Weaver, the other puzzling part of that article from The Athletic is that James Edwards has a feeling that Monty Williams' seat is hotter than Troy Weaver's. What do you make of that?
I have a hard time believing that. Not in any sort of way, you know, shot at James Edwards or his reporting or anything like that in the absolute slightest.
Right.
Just the idea of, there's still, you know, $70 million that needs to be paid to Monty Williams over the next 5 years. Like, are you going to commit to paying him to not work for your organization and then seemingly need to make a new splash hire for your head coaching position where you're going to commit a lot of money because you, as an organization, helped partially reset the coaching pay rate last offseason when you gave Monty Williams that big of a contract. So I don't know. I if you told me the Pistons were going to get rid of Troy Weaver and Monty Williams the day after the season ended, I'd have no qualms with it. I wouldn't say that it's a bad decision. It's just the financial commitment. I don't know if I can buy into Tom Gores being willing to pay Monty Williams another $70 million over the next 5 years and have to commit another 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, $80 million to a new head coach that they signed to a 3-4-5 year deal. I don't know. I think Troy Weaver has done so much harm to this team. And I think that as bad as Monty Williams has been this year, you also have to look at the roster that he's been handed and say, man, yeah, he mismanaged Jaden Ivey. You know, yeah, his rotations have been a disaster. The Pistons have played, what, 31 guys this season? It's a franchise record. They've just brought in another player in Jalen Noel who's going to make it. That's either 31 or 32, but a ridiculously high number. You know, I think I could swallow the idea of getting rid of Troy Weaver, but Monty Williams being given another season if this roster is significantly improved. And then if things go awry, I think it would be a lot easier for Tom Gores to come out and say, look, I messed up. I went for the big hire instead of getting a guy who you know, really wanted to be in it, wasn't doing it because we came back with a blank check. after he already denied us the first time. You know, that's my bad for trying to make headlines, trying to, you know, build PR and marketing. I'm going to get us a basketball coach that's like in it for the love of the game right now, you know, and it's not a shot at Monty Williams. It's what he said. Like, he declined the job when the Pistons came back and offered him X number of dollars. Then he said, okay, you know what? For generational wealth, I'm in. And you really can't blame him for that. If you were offered generational wealth to do a job, even if you didn't want to do it, you'd do it. So I think, at least in my mind, the first step should be removing Troy Weaver from his position of power. But if they wanted to remove both, there would be no complaints or no objections from myself.
Yeah, they have equal parts blame. And by the way, Pistons have 30 players that they have had on the active roster this year. But I could see both being removed. You kind of mentioned the financial implications of removing Monty. I don't necessarily think that Gores needs to go that far. I'm a little surprised that Monty's seat is hotter. He did mismanage Jaden Ivey. His rotations are very odd, like you said. But to not, well, rather, the Weaver is the architect of this roster that is so bad that's forced all these bad choices by Monty. I mean, it's not anything super in depth on that front. It's just surprising that Monty's seat is perhaps considered to be hotter because he has been just working with what he's been given, and there has been ill health, and there has been, you know, this frugality, as was described in The Athletic, to just not spend to improve the roster enough. We talked about in the summer, not, you know, offering something up to Cam Johnson, not, you know, trying a little bit harder for some of those pieces. But I would rather get rid of Weaver than Monty. I think you put a good GM in place that, you know, has a better idea of how to structure this roster, and Monty might all of a sudden be a much better coach with some better rotations. I mean, he's throwing out just blanks out there trying to figure out what's going to stick.
Troy Weaver, after tying the franchise's second worst record in franchise history, spent an entire offseason and came out of it with a very raw rookie in Asar Thompson, a guard that he drafted in Marcus Sasser, in which he gave up assets to move up in the draft and get, which he then subsequently parked deeper in the rotation when he used part of his cap space to bring in Monte Morris, and then used the rest of the team's cap space on a washed up, no longer NBA player that had proven that in the last 2 years in Joe Harris. And that was his offseason. His offseason was a disaster. He gave Monty Williams nothing new to work with outside of really Asar Thompson. And we knew it was going to come along slowly for him, considering his ranking as a prospect. You know, his profile as a prospect. Really high intangibles, athleticism, can be a defensive, you know, a major defensive piece. But the offense is just not there at all right now. And it's going to take years for that to ever get to, you know, a competent NBA level. And Asar Thompson was starting for this team essentially right away because Troy Weaver brought in no NBA caliber wings in an entire offseason for a team in desperate need of NBA caliber wings. Monty Williams did not have Bojan Bogdanović to start the season. He lost Cade Cunningham for a stretch. Yes, he mismanaged Jaden Ivey, but like he started the year with guys that are not in the NBA now after the trade deadline: Killian Hayes, Joe Harris, Kevin Knox. Kevin Knox was an add later in the season. Pardon me there, but Isaiah Livers as well. He was handed all these guys that are just not NBA players by Troy Weaver, and was told, "Hey, like let's shoot for the play-in this year. Let's play 82 competitive games." And you're just not going to do that when you're housing 6 to 8 non-NBA basketball players on your roster. So as much as Monty Williams has done a bad job, and I'm not clearing him for everything, like Troy has given him a terrible roster the same way he gave Dwayne Casey a terrible roster.
Yep, I think that pretty much sums up our feelings on that. I can't fault them if they get rid of both. I don't blame them for cleaning house of everything from top to bottom. I don't blame them for trading two of the core pieces just to really hit the reset button without necessarily, you know, trading someone like Cade. But there will be a lot of change coming. The season is winding down. We've got like less than 2 weeks until the season ends, I believe. I think it ends the 15th or the 14th or something. And there will be change coming. And we're going to be talking about it, and that's at least exciting. I'm ready to talk about some change and not Malachi Flynn empty calorie 50 burgers. Aaron, anything else you want to cover before we wrap up this edition of the podcast?
Well, I'll be the plug god here for a moment, right? Go and subscribe to AlphaPistons.com. Need your support there. If you've made it this far in the show, what's another 30 seconds to go to PalaceOfPistons.com on your phone or on your desktop, on your tablet, whatever. Type it in. Type in your email. Subscribe to our newsletter. Go to our socials, Palace of Pistons on X, Palace Pistons on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on TikTok. Go comment on the Malachi Flynn video and tell me how big of a jackass I am. I don't care. But show
us. I'm going to do that.
Socials, go for it, Mike. Get your frustrations out with me. But really support us. We really do need it. I'm trying to take some steps, you know, in a bigger direction. So definitely need your guys' support there to make that possible. I guess one other thing I'll say is props to the sickos that are still watching this team. I see it on my feed every night when I'm watching. There are some real sickos that are still watching this game, watching it attentively, drawing real conclusions, or at least trying to. And you know, it reminds me of myself from when I was younger, where every Piston game was like a national event. It was like a pay-per-view that I just had to sit down and watch from start to finish. I've gotten to the point this year, especially in these last few weeks, where it's just not doable for me some nights. And so props to the people that are out there watching on a nightly basis. You guys are some real sickos.
And those are the same people who should be subscribing to the newsletter for sure. And sticking with us as the season winds down and some supposed big changes are on the horizon. And we hope that you'll be joining us as we cover that and more. It'll be draft night before we know it. It'll be free agency. And those are, you know, some of the most fun times of the NBA season. But we're going to wrap up this edition of the pod just as the Pistons are wrapping up their season. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode. That's Bet Online. And if you have not used Bet Online yet, you can use the promo code BELEAV, BLEAV, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use Bet Online. For my co-host, Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Anguiliano. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the BELEAV Network. And we will see you all next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.